Most kids these days bring their cell phones and tablets to school, but research suggests that may not help them much. A recent study from MIT found college students do better on exams when they're not allowed access to their computers. University of Georgia journalism professor John Soloski has taken that idea to heart, and he joins me from Athens, Georgia. Hi, John.
Hi.
You have banned laptops in your classrooms?
I have banned all electronic equipment in my classroom.
I bet that went over well. Okay, also with us from Hartford, Connecticut is Michael Robb. He's director of research with Common Sense Media, a nonprofit that studies the effects of media on kids. Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
Before we get to John and how that argument went with his college students, Michael, here's the thing about the research on screens, tablets, and cell phones in classrooms. There seems to be a lot of sometimes conflicting evidence. Can you give me a clue as to how to sift through all this different research?
I can give you a clue, and I can also give you a somewhat unsatisfying answer that a lot of the times it comes down to it depends. But what I mean by that is that the way that technology is used is going to matter far more than exactly whether there's a laptop or not in the classroom. And it's really going to come down to basically how well you match a particular kind of technology with a child at the right age for the right purpose at the right time. And so as such, you know, you often get very good uses of technology and often a lot of inappropriate uses of technology in classrooms.
Now, your guys' work at Common Sense Media focuses on kids under 18, right?
That's correct.
Now, John, you are dealing with students, for the most part, I assume, who are above 18. They are adults.
Yes, they are.
For all intents and purposes.
Yes.
So what is the reaction when you tell students not to bring any electronics in your classroom?
Surprisingly, there's been no reaction.
What?
They don't say a word.
Why did you make this decision?
Well, I did it for a number of reasons, but one of them was that this is a large class that we're talking about, and I would be doing PowerPoint presentations, and as soon as I would put up a PowerPoint presentation, they would start copying it down, and they weren't listening to what I was saying. By not having that laptop, they have to now summarize in their own words what is up on the screen and what I'm saying. So that means they have to analyze it. They're just not simply copying it.
Now, this is the second semester that you've done this, John?
Yes, it is.
Did you see a difference?
Yes. One of the big differences, there's been a lot more interaction in the classroom among students and between students and me. So we can talk about issues and actually get into some depth with them. The other thing, it lowers a physical barrier. When you're in an auditorium setting and you're looking up and all you see are screens in front of all your students, there's a real physical barrier there. You can't see the students.
Michael, what do we know about the effect of technology on engagement, what John is talking about there?
You know, it's interesting. As I'm listening to John talk, the other thing I'm thinking about is some of the research on multitasking. And in addition to the fact that what he cites is true, that, you know, when you have to take something by hand instead of typing it, you're doing more analysis. When you have that laptop in front of you, the temptation to do other things on that laptop, go on Facebook, you know, check email, those temptations are very great. And not just for you, but you being on that laptop also distracts the people who can see your screen. So there's kind of like a ripple effect that goes out from just that student. So, you know, what he's saying, you know, makes a lot of sense in terms of how he's seeing some of these improvements in the classroom. Having said that, you know, when you talk about, you know, in K-12 education, you're not necessarily talking about just having a laptop for note-taking abilities. You might be using it for other kinds of purposes that are specific to, you know, a teacher's curricular goal. And when a teacher has been well trained and picks the right technology and matches it to the kid's kind of right age and interest, then you can have really positive learning results and get kids who are really engaged.
John, do you then send them home? Do your students have to engage with the computer for their class once they leave your classroom?
No, that's up to them. But understand that this is a large lecture class. In other classes, particularly in the Grady College of Journalism, we're heavily technologically based, and students will use laptops. They have to they're doing audio, for example, and mixing it, or doing video or news stories. They're on laptops.
So it sounds like you're saying much what Michael is, which is that technology in and of itself is not a bad thing as long as it's used as a tool and not a crutch.
Yeah, and to make sure it's not a barrier. What Michael was talking about with students, you know, going on Facebook, online shopping, it's very hard to stop that. I mean, there's no way I can police that use. And so, and it is disturbing to students who are sitting around that student. And so it's better just to let them focus on me and what we're talking about, particularly when we're talking about subjects that don't have a right or wrong answer, and they need to understand the logic behind the different positions that people take.
So, Michael, I read reports of classrooms where they'd gotten a huge investment or a grant from, say, Microsoft or elsewhere, and everyone in the school was given a tablet computer. And then I read later reports in which they said those tablet computers were sitting on shelves because kids were playing games on the tablet computers. What's the best advice to give to teachers to make good use of those tablets and laptops and cell phones?
Yeah, it's amazing how many times I hear a report about somebody dumping a lot of money at a school to buy all kinds of technology and just kind of hoping that dropping it in is somehow going to improve a kid's learning outcomes. And what they don't realize is that money, without some investment spent in training the teachers and also giving them proper time to explore, you know, all these new devices, it's going to be wasted money, because without that training, they're not going to have a way to really understand how to really intentionally and appropriately integrate that technology into the classroom. So I guess my advice would be for the people who are making those decisions is to, really spend also additional monies or carve out some of that money for, you know, teacher training time.
John, do you at the school there in Athens, do you guys get any kind of training in how to implement technology for the classrooms?
Oh, in the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication, absolutely. We require all of our students to have laptop computers and other kinds of equipment, cameras, for example. So we're heavily technologically based, but those are simply tools that the students need to use in order to accomplish their academic goals.
And that may not be happening, Michael, in all grade schools, that training.
Yes, there are many, many cases where that kind of training is not happening. And it's really unfortunate because there's a lot of potential. You know, technology can allow you to do lots of things that you can't do in the physical analog world. So being able to capitalize on those things would be great. And you know, if you ask kids, they are excited and engaged by technology. They love it. That's something that teachers should really be trying to take advantage of. And, you know, with effective training, the research shows that blending that technology with face-to-face teacher time can produce really good learning outcomes. But just trying to replace face-to-face time with technology or just kind of dropping it in, you know, that's a recipe for trouble.
I've been speaking with University of Georgia Professor John Salosky, and you just heard Michael Robb. He is with Common Sense Media. John and Michael, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.